saying to each other that if we accept the darkness, we cannot say we have fellowship with Christ or that we are living in our eternal life. You see, it's just a matter of living in it and not living in a temporary life. You can't live in both. And so, like the speaking Christ from the invisible and the moving lips of the visible Jesus, you learn to live in your invisible self, which is perfect, which is enduring, which is without blemish, and you learn to look at the visible self as a mirror of the degree to which you are living in your reality. If the mirror doesn't show forth the perfection of your eternal self, it's telling you that you are not living in it. There's a blockage, there's something in you that's not accepting. Or maybe you're accepting it for you, but not for somebody else. You're worrying about Amy. You're worrying about Fred. You're worrying about Peter. You say, oh, I'm the eternal life, but I'm sure worried about someone else. And that's not accepting it. And when you accept it, you must accept it for me. You must not hold me in the darkness while you accept the light for yourself. And so your outer world will manifest this division. You've got to throw all of your spare change into the pot. You can't hold back anything. And so in the acceptance of this, you learn to accept that no one else is going to die either. They've already died. They are already the invisible, eternal life. They just don't know it. Nothing's going to change that. And this becomes your consciousness. And as it becomes your consciousness, it's then x-rayed into the visible, and it becomes the visible mirror of your consciousness, which the world calls you, your form, your body, your activities. But that's only the outer expression of your new eternal life acceptance. And that's when time becomes important. Then time mirrors forth that which you have realized in the invisible, and you see the purpose of time. If it doesn't show forth the fullness of joy, the fullness of harmony, then you know you've still got work to do. There's some more wood to chop until you really get the fire blazing within. Then you see time in a different light. Time becomes the mirror of your soul or the mirror of your mind. And the level you're at determines that. But let us not make the mistake, says John, of declaring that I accept eternal life, but I also accept the darkness. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's talking about the one life in all that you must accept. Now, I don't want to run you into tomorrow. I don't know. We have plenty of time. Good. Now, those are the first seven verses of the first epistle. And they take a little living with. A reading won't do it. You sort of have to immerse yourself into them, swim in them instead of the mystical ocean of time, and sort of let them simmer in your consciousness. They start bubbling up and expressing, and the words open up, and they say different things to you. You find that every word is 10 more words, and then every 10 words becomes a sort of a new intuition about yourself. And finally, after about 8 or 10 readings of this within yourself, they're like little seeds that become oak trees. And then they begin to blossom. And there are many, many side effects. So that ultimately within you, something is built. Maybe it's called a tree of life to us, but some kind of an assurance, which is a positive awareness that you are in eternal life. And no more do you consider yourself in it, but you consider it to be you. I am eternal life. I can't be any other. There isn't any other. And so you begin to expand your consciousness of eternal life from where you stand to the uttermost perimeter of your mind and then beyond. Until your eternal life is the very living atmosphere where the universe of the mind had seemed to be. You walk visibly in a body through your eternal life, knowing that your eternal life is the reality of your being. It is a livingness. It is living time instead of dying time. I would like to do more of John, and I think we can. We're going to jump ahead into the second chapter. I've only skipped a few verses. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, meaning the ego. The desire of the ego to be. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now when we discussed this, I was going to say last night, but it seems it was only this morning. We did not exchange this world, as we are doing tonight, for the eternal life. The world that passes away is not just this visible world out here. It's the world of your human self. When it passes away, it's your human self that passes with it. That's why it passes away. Your human self passes away, but your eternal life does not. And that is the message which John was bequeathed to bestow upon us. You don't have to stay in that human self which passes away. And at one time in your awareness, you had to. No more. In fact, it's the will of God that you do not stay in that human sense of self that passes away. And that should be quite clear that that is the will of God. And if you are tuned to the will of God, then you are saying to yourself, I cannot live in the human self that passes away. I am given a door into eternity and I am going through it. This isn't being spoken to me to entertain me. It is giving me God's directive to my consciousness saying, be my son. Be my life. Walk in me and I in thee now. And don't walk in the self or the world that passeth away. And because your life by now really should be committed to the will of God, You have no choice, have you? What will you do tomorrow that's more important than obeying the will of God? And so I should think that tomorrow, even if we were back in our various cities, going through our daily chores, we would invisibly be obeying the will of God, and there would be another self there than the world would see. And day after day after day of that, and that self is magnified, as Mary said, I magnify the Lord. Day after day you become more conscious of your eternal life. It becomes more your reality in your awareness. And naturally, just as the sunlight goes back to the sun, and these words go back to the Father, and then you discover that out of your invisible self comes the guidance you've been seeking. You sought it out there. Your focus was on the tangible, visible world, and you sought the guidance. You sought those things that were missing. But now, as you become aware of your invisible self, and you live in it day by day, you find your invisible self provides the guidance leading you into the fuller acceptance of your eternal life, which no one out here can give you. Your invisible self has a built-in radar for you. It lights your path. But only when you've accepted it. Try to catch the invisibility of Jesus and see the miracle of your own invisibility that way. I, Jesus, am not here. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. I, Fred, I, John, I, Mary, I, person, am not here. I am the invisible life of God. And as you accept that invisible life, it speaks, it talks, it leads, it directs, it guides. It's the acceptance of it that brings its active animation into your consciousness. You see, without that acceptance, there's a wall, there's a separation. But when you honor the presence of your invisible life by accepting it, not over here, not in the mouth, but in your living it, in your rejection of all that is not it, by your deeds, it comes alive within you. It becomes a moving force. And it says to the wind, be still. It says, be thou cleansed. It says, stretch forth thine arm. It says, pick up thy bed. And it does the work. It picks up the bed it told you to pick up. It stretches forth the arm it told you to stretch forth. The cause and the effect are simultaneous. It does not work in a time sequence. It works in the now. Now you can fortify your knowledge of your eternal life, which may also be called your eternal self or Christ, and know that it is leading you to live in not the passing now, but the now that does not pass. Not the passing, changing now, which is ever passing. This now is a mobile now. It's gone as it arrived. It's an ever new now. A fleeting now. It's not the real now. It's the dying now. But this eternal self, this eternal life, lives in the eternal now, the now that does not pass. And in this eternal now, you will find that all of your qualities are eternal qualities. And because they are there now, you begin accepting your eternal qualities, so that when a shaft of darkness appears covering an eternal quality, you know the eternal quality doesn't go away. For instance, if you wanted to be dishonest for a moment, how could you be? What would enable you to be dishonest? If you're living in the eternal now of the eternal self, the moment dishonesty came to your mind, something would veto it. It would say, I cannot, I am the Spirit of God, in whom there is no dishonesty. And so the mere moment of dishonesty would be a departure and a denial. Another Peter saying, I know him not. I do not accept the invisible, eternal life, the Christ. You find there's a gradual diminishing of every tendency, even reflex action, to suddenly respond to an evil. And you may have to struggle with it, but the more you are aware of your eternal now, your eternal self, the more you will find that every tendency toward a quality that is not your eternal quality will gradually become fortified, so that this tendency will lose its power to become a sort of reflex action. It is an unconditioning process which removes the conditioned hypnosis of centuries. Hate, resentment, greed, those things become just as dead as, in fact, as they are already dead in your eternal life. There's just no place for them. Doubt, worry, concern, grief, mourning, there's no place for them. They're all denials of your permanent quality. And so the strengthening of one is the weakening of the other, and vice versa. The more you give in to these unreal qualities, the more and further away, rather, you are from who you are. Now, all of this is, of course, preparation. Why do we do this? We do this because we want to live. We don't want to die. We want to live, and the only place you can live is in eternal life. Otherwise, even if you think you're alive, you're dead. All through the Bible, we are told the dead will rise. The graves will open up. So we are also told, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Now, you know, Paul wasn't talking to those who were physically dead. Paul was talking to those who were physically alive and saying, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Because those who do not live in their eternal life, even if they call themselves human, even if they call themselves successful, even if they call themselves wonderful, they are asleep. And they are living in a deadness which does not know their own spirit. And that's why it's called deadness. They are dead to eternal life. And therefore, there is no other life than eternal life. And they may think they're alive, but they are spiritually dead. We are the walking dead until we are alive to our eternal life. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. And so, although I didn't get to look into your eyes this morning, I do feel a great pulse among us. We are blessed. And if I were to tell you there's a light there and a light there and another one there, it wouldn't be true, because there are lights everywhere here. There's much more than meets the eye. You can tell by the depth of the consciousness present that we are all being blessed, and that our own group consciousness is a good receiver for the word. Now, as we deepen, as we become one eternal life, I don't say we're going to overthrow the Roman Empire. But all we can do is shine, you know. This invisible sunshine is going to light a few corners of this physical world. We are going to live in that which does not die, not in the world that passeth away. What time is it in Australia? What time is it in New Zealand? What time is it in Japan? It is now. That is the only time there is. The eternal now is everywhere, regardless of the country, regardless of the hemisphere, regardless of which invisible world it may be in. There are many time systems. There are time systems in areas we know nothing of. There are many time systems right in your one body. You're a mixture of thousands of time systems. It all runs together and we think of it as one. But all of these time systems, a time system on Mars, a time system on Jupiter, a time system in galaxies beyond the known planets, all of these time systems are counterfeit of the one infinite eternal time which is now. In your true life, accepted, you live now. And that means that whatever time does, no matter how fast it moves past you or how slow, it does not touch the nowness of your life. I would like to continue with John in May tomorrow. But there are new aspects of time that we must move into. We must find the depth and the circumference and the length of your true life as an experience. We must see your life in such a way that you can understand that there is no new life ever going to come to you. That all of your life already exists. It's not going to come in a tomorrow. And you're not going to wait for tomorrow to present it to you. You're going to accept the allness of your life now as a completed fact. And when you do, and finally reach a degree of realization on it, that allness of your life, that integration, will be the gathering of the 12 baskets, the gathering of the fragments, the gathering of all so-called incarnations into the one now. Now is my total infinite life. It doesn't depend on any tomorrow. And then you're off on the evolution of life itself. The real evolution is only the evolution of your conscious awareness of that infinite life. You're out of the time evolution. You're going up the cross vertically instead of horizontally. You're picking up your cross. You're moving into what the world has thought was heaven. Right here. Heaven now. The finished kingdom now. The here kingdom beyond time now. The life now. Here. Being real as a living fact. And you're moving up and not into non-existent time. We're going to try to integrate that life into a realization. And I think it would help you if you could remember that the self of you that wasn't you already is dead. just a matter of time when you catch up to that knowledge. And then you'll realize it has already died. The only life you are is that life which is permanent, which can never die. And when you experience that life, you will see that it is the same life that expressed through Christ Jesus and then through Christ John, which is declaring itself as present. Our last meditation will be the omnipresence of that life, and from it, the knowledge that that life, being everywhere now, we're not concerned about a war in the Middle East. We're not concerned about a war in Africa. We're not concerned about recessions and depressions, here, there, or anywhere. We're not concerned about lack of energy. We're not concerned about statistics. We are not concerned about those things that move in time. They have moved chaotically because there was no consciousness of the reality of that which is not in time. We will attempt in our way to provide that consciousness which stands behind the moving images in time. Fast, certain, unmoving. Even walking through the images in a form while we hold to the truth that my life is omnipresent. There's no other life anywhere. The life of the deposed Shah, the life of the president, the life of anyone who walks this globe is not there. There is only one infinite life. It is omnipresent without opposite, and there you stand. And because of that omnipresent life, the only power is the power of that omnipresent life. And that power is now. Wherever there is a realization of it. And the intelligence of that life is now wherever there is a realization of it. And I will try to be that one in consciousness. This is what we're meditating on. Tomorrow won't bring me any more of myself than I am accepting now. But what I am accepting now will visibly manifest in the time tomorrow as I accept it now. I am sowing the seed for all my visible tomorrow. And I am bringing alive all the invisible yesterdays as well. There is no part of you that ever died, that can ever be dead or ever was dead. You are life without opposite in all that man calls the past, the present, and the future. You are life itself. And for you, there is no passing away. There is no darkness. There is only the light of the Father in and as the light of the Son. This should be your developed consciousness as you dwell with this truth, as you practice it, as you reject all that tells you it isn't, as you solidify it. You will find that it has already overcome the world. We will be in the eternal day. It will be called Sunday, but it won't fool us, and I'll see you then. Thank you.